Mina de Malfoy and the Young Blood, Part 1. You know, I've managed to avoid most anime fandoms, because what with the endless manga series and the imported DVDs and the re-released subtitled DVDs and so forth, I simply can't I can't be bothered. Not to mention, there's no part of my anatomy I'd care to squeeze into any kind of sailor suit or schoolgirl uniform and display for public amusement. The public, I put it to you, is under enough varied and sundry stress without that. My only regret in this direction is that a lot of the young fans seem drawn to anime. I'm not sure what the attraction is based on. Possibly the pictures cut down on the endless arguments that text-only fandoms are so sadly prone to over whether or not character A is pretty. Or maybe the endless dub versus sub wars are a natural outlet for all that pent-up youthful aggression that doesn't always find a convenient battlefield to release itself on. I couldn't say. What I can say, though, is that I've felt more than one passing pang of regret that I'm missing out on this obvious opportunity to converse meaningfully with the younger fans, displaying my wit and experience to natural advantage, while they hover around, collecting pearls of wisdom that drop from my keyboard. It seemed a wasted opportunity. And then, several of my relatives had suddenly shown a hitherto unrevealed depth of affection for me, and near my birthday, unable apparently to remember the exact date, but will pass over that in stony silence, had given me a gaming system and a couple of new releases. It was a bit the equivalent of having ye old family pony up and treat me to some crack, and for a while there, on about my second or third sleepless night, I wondered whether maybe what the gaming industry needed were stricter regulations and to be forced to fund a few 12-step programs for us hapless users. But it was definitely a youthful kind of crack, if you follow me. I felt plugged in to the ethos of the era. At about this juncture, Ark mentioned that the archive was going to expand. I put it to her now that the proposed expansion ought to include a sanguinity wing.
"What's sanguinity?" she asked.
"Sanguinity," I informed her, concealing my amazement that she had never heard of it, "is a multi-layered, non-narrative text containing and yet questioning all the tropes of vampire and, incidentally, angel literature in a smooth, coy retelling which demonstrates conclusively the death of the author by allowing the reader, or player, to reenact the demise repeatedly."
"Player?" she shot back.
I fancy a trifle suspiciously. It's a little disconcerting the way Ark manages to seize on the one thing you're trying to talk her around, no matter how carefully you bury the evidence in a flood of information.
"Is this a video game?"
"Yes," I admitted, although really, I thought that was doing it a disservice. Kind of dismissive, just calling it a video game. But I let it slide. I suppose Ark can't help showing her age and her generally hidebound approach to life.
"Penned Passion doesn't host video game fiction," she said. She needed, I could see, convincing. I rallied round with the arguments.
"Then it's about time it did," I typed scathingly. "We need a shot of new blood. Including sanguinity fan fiction will attract a different fandom demographic and shake us up a bit." There was a bit of a pause. I imagine she was pondering the brilliance of my arguments and finding them thoroughly of the shiny.
"I'll look into it," she said.
A couple of days later, she got back to me. "If you're interested in encouraging the younger element of fandom," she wrote, "perhaps you'd consider taking a position on the editorial board of the newly created Dread Lane section at the archive." I sat up straighter in my chair. Dread Lane is one of the locations in Sanguinity, so clearly she'd been swayed by my description. I didn't rub it in, though. And these editorial boards, they're the thing, what? You see, every area of Ark's fanfiction archive
Penned Passions, has its own board of 6 volunteers, 3 canon editors and 3 straight-up grammar and spelling editors of the editor type, for a total, as I've said, of 6. In point of fact, most standing armies are a bit lax from an organisational standpoint compared to this archive. Most armies are probably a sight easier to get into, too. Before a fic can be uploaded to the archive, it gets fine-toothed by one canon editor and then by one rigid grammarian with an aptitude for spelling, and, as you can imagine, the vast majority of submitted fanfiction gets shot back to its author before she's even finished her celebratory dance of accomplishment. If they send you a list of corrections and suggestions twice the length of the fic you submitted, it's a sign they like you and wish you to resubmit. If they send you a tersely worded, "We do not think your fanfiction is suitable for penned passion," then you might as well get on with flinging yourself out a high window if having the thing hosted at PP was one of your particular goals in life. But for some unfathomable reason, the volunteers filling these editorial positions are highly thought of in fandom. You'd think, wouldn't you, that any group of people known far and wide to spend their spare time dealing crushing blows to the egos of the populace would be vigorously and routinely denounced, but it seems not to happen all that often. I don't claim that somewhere in the ether there mightn't be a few scorned authors constructing editorial board voodoo dolls, but if they do, they do so in a cloistered silence, because having it get out that you wailed and gnashed your teeth over a PP rejection muddens your name far worse than the rejection itself. There is, in short, something statesmanlike about these editorial boards. Taking my place firmly amongst them would put the seal on the thing. It would be the equivalent of a banner ad proclaiming that I was not merely a creative force, but a steady, respectable, serious-minded fan. "I love to shape young minds," I shot back eagerly. "In fact, I have quite firm ideas of my own about the sanguinity canon."
"The canon editor positions are filled," she responded brusquely. "But there's one place left for a good text editor, and your structure and spelling are very sound."
It was a slight blow. I mean, the canon editor gig contained more real scope for guiding the fandom. But still, this got me in on the ground floor of a newish fandom, dispensing wisdom to and fro, basking in the innocent wide-eyed admiration of the young. I accepted. Naturally, once my appointment had been confirmed, I made a discreet, tasteful announcement in my live journal, knowing as I did so that the buzzing hive of internet fandom would disperse the good news far and wide, enabling all true Sanguinity fans to find me. I awaited a warm welcome.
"You have 300 new messages," my computer informed me chirpily when I got home from my next shift, which almost made up for being grease-spattered and downtrodden. I took a longish shower, lingered for a while over my choice of scent. I needed something that suggested wisdom and strict adherence to conventional English, but also approachability, kindness, and, in accordance with Sanguinity canon, the bass notes had to be vampiric, and rolled the chair up to the keyboard. I know fandom sometimes seems to think as with a single mind. I've seen the unkind remark that it thinks with but a single brain cell, and while I wouldn't go that far, there is a certain sheep-like collectivity about them on occasion. Fads sweep through them like viral outbreaks of yore. But even, as I've said, knowing this in advance, it was disconcerting to find that 299 people had shown fit to ask me in the space of a day the same question. It was as if nothing could proceed until the entrails had been consulted and this vital issue put to rest. The madding crowd crowded maddingly and awaited my answer to that eternal question: do you ship PBP or PBJ? I suppose a word or two of explanation is in order here for those of you who, like Ark, have missed out on the
breathless excitement that is sanguinity. Perhaps you too were raised in the wilds of Canada, and having spent your youth locked in combat with a variety of toothed and antlered wildlife, are now left desirous of a calm, restful life, free from the excitement afforded by this best of video games.
Perhaps you simply haven't heard of it.
At any rate, the facts are these. Sanguinity players who wish to play for the light or heroic side, as the game manufacturers seem to have assumed most folk will want to do, have an immediate choice of three main characters. Princess B, an unconvincingly well-muscled representative of the deposed ruling class. Pierce, her handsome and athletic third cousin twice removed. And Jab, his best friend from university or something. I admit to having skimmed through the Pierce and Jab backstory at a brisk pace. Players who, wishing to subvert the imposed morality of the game, prefer to play one of the hierarchy of vampires, must shell out for upgrades and add-ons. I don't mind telling you that my own newfound devotion to Lord Henri Antoine Silvestre de Carovina made it touch and go whether I'd be able to meet next month's rent. But such are the sacrifices that the devout shoulder willingly. A dispute, or perhaps a schism, had, I gathered from the messages, arisen within the newly hatched fandom before its wings had even dried. Some of those commenting had helpfully left links to other sites where the factions had gathered to succour their wounds with like-minded comrades whilst heaping abuse on the opposite ship. When I tell you that communities had been formed, blacklists assembled, and friendships dissolved, all within the fortnight since the game's release, you'll understand the degree to which the fever had gripped these youngsters. This, as I said, took up 299 of my messages. The 300th was from someone calling himself Warrior, and it ran thusly. If you turn out to be one of those cocksuckers who ship PJ, you'll regret it. I oppose all who dare besmirch noble military men such as Pierce and Jab with their disgusting slash. Malfoy Estate will burn if you oppose me. I'll track you down. All in all, I felt a slightly disquieting turn of events.